Thank you, Green Trio, Green Ladies, Al Gore's favorite trio, Green. They leave no carbon footprint. They're green. That was a blessing. What a great song. Boy, these new songs are coming out with are a blessing, aren't they? That old song's older than most everybody in here put together. And yet, what a message. And what a wonderful truth if we'd learn it. Those things that we don't understand now. Just keep trusting God, and there's coming a day when it's all going to be answered. And we're going to be glad we just kept on trusting God. Quit trying to prove everything and reason everything. How can you prove God? Why? He's everywhere. Christian life is not by reason or proof. It's by faith. And until we learn to trust the Word of God and trust the God the Word of God tells us about, we're going to struggle. We're going to miss the blessings of living the life we have in Christ. There's not an answer to everything that happens to us right now. But we'll know all about it one day. Open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Thank you, ladies, for singing that great old song. That was a blessing to this preacher. 2 Kings chapter 2. I shall begin to read in verse number 1 and we'll read through verse 15. Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, and Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Now people read that and say, "Reckon that really happened?" Yeah, it happened. God's recorded in His Word. You say, "But I can't prove it." Word of God's not to be proven, it's to be believed, to accept it by faith, and one of these days you'll understand all about it. "And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me into Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless. If thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when it also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now I want you to go back up to verse 14 and listen to the words of Elijah as he, or Elisha, as he took Elijah's mantle and smote the waters of the Jordan as Elijah had done. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Now I want to use that, or a part of that, as my message tonight. I want to use the part of it that says, "Where is the Lord God? Where is the Lord God?" And here's what I want to preach on tonight. Is God real to you? Is He real to you? Or is He just a belief concept? Do you have a real and personal relationship with God? Or do you find yourself wondering if He even exists? Is God real to you? If Christianity is anything, it ought to be real. And God ought to be real in our minds, our life, our heart, and our relationships. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. Lord, my heart is stirred at those who live in such a way that their Christian life fades and they lose the reality that God is real and the Bible is true. And instead of having that wonderful personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they begin to doubt whether they're saved, and then they begin to doubt the Bible and begin to doubt whether or not there is even a God. Now, Lord, we have some people right here in this building tonight that would tell any one of us that they're a Christian, but God is not real nor is He evident in their life. And it ought to trouble us. It ought to bother us if we claim to have faith without relationship. There can be no peace, no joy, no assurance if God is not real in our hearts and in our life. Help me tonight to drive this truth home and cause people to stop and look at themselves and the way they're living their life, so that they come to the place where God is no longer real in their life. I need your help. Fill me with Thy Spirit. Use me for Thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I cannot tell you in words how important it is for our relationship with God to be personal, alive, and real. This world is full of fakes, frauds, and fools. But when it comes to our Christian life, that ought not be used to describe us. We can't fake it in Christianity till we make it. Either God is real in your heart or He's not. Either you have a personal relationship or you don't. So many of God's people neglect their spiritual life and concentrate on their physical life. They're more concerned about the car they drive and the house they live in and their career are earning money and things they want to buy than they are the spiritual upkeep of their life in Christ. The result is, as we neglect our spiritual life, God becomes distant and impersonal. Until we come to that place, we may even begin to doubt our salvation, or even doubt the Word of God, or doubt our faith, and even doubt that there is a God. God created man so that he might have a personal relationship with his creation. God desires fellowship with us. He desires fellowship with his children. He desires a love relationship with his children. But everything about this world system and everything about fallen man pulls us away from God and his intended purpose in creation and redemption. Even Calvary's purpose was not just to save sinners from hell, but to redeem sinful man and reconcile sinful man to a holy God so that there could be a loving relationship and fellowship between man and God. If you've never looked beyond Calvary to the point where you think the only reason Jesus died was to save you from hell, you've missed a big portion of why Christ came and why he died. He wants that real personal relationship with us. You see, in Christ we're no longer afar off. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer aliens to the covenant of promise. In Christ we're made to become sons of God and heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ and fellow citizen with the saints. Everything about our salvation is to bring us into a personal, real, and close relationship with God. That leads me again to ask this question. Is God real to you? Do you ever feel his presence? Do you ever hear that still small voice of God speaking to your heart? Do you ever feel conviction when you do wrong and act wrong and think wrong? Do you ever consider his will and purpose for your existence in this life? Now let me say clearly that there is absolutely no relationship with God if you're not saved. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil if you've never been born again. A lost person does not even have the privilege of prayer. It's a gift from God to his children. The only privilege of prayer a lost man ever has is that of a sinner calling upon God to forgive his sin and save his soul. That's the only prayer of a lost sinner God will hear. None of the promises of God are for the unsaved except two: the promise of everlasting judgment in hell fire and the promise to save any sinner who will by faith call upon Jesus Christ and him alone to save him. Now there's a real danger for a child of God to come to that place in this old cold wicked world that we lose the reality of our salvation. You know, I forgot to turn that off. Aren't you glad? There's no need of trying to hide it. I guarantee you that's Brian Sharp. I usually don't even bring. Aren't you happy? That made your day, Clay, didn't it? Hey, you can sleep tonight with peace and joy. I apologize, church. No sincere Christian ought to bring a cell phone on to church. And I did. Sorry, outfit. Me included. That's awful. I heard that thing and I thought, I hope nobody else heard that. And then I said, everybody heard it. It's right here by the microphone. How many of you heard it? Huh? See? See, you can't hide from sin, folks. You just wills to repent, get it right, give it up. I'll tell you what, though, that sure took my mind off the pain in my back. That's awful. There's a real danger for a child of God to leave his cell phone on when he comes to church. And there's also a real danger for a child of God to get so caught up in living the life in this world that we lose the reality that God is real and the Bible is true. And if you've lost that, you've lost the purpose for your life. You've lost the joy of your life. You've lost the peace of your life. And you've lost the opportunity to live a life that really matters and really counts. My message tonight is simply to try to give you some simple things to keep God real in our life. Again, I ask you, is God real to you? When's the last time there's been any evidence of God being real in your heart or in your life? You know, God is not somebody that we put on a shelf all week long and pull Him out on Sunday. He lives all week long. He doesn't come out just at Easter and Christmas. He's God all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And He longs for that personal, close relationship with you. Is He real in your heart? If He's not, I want you to know it's not His fault. Now, what can we do to keep Him real in our lives? You know, the answers to some of the great questions like this are so simple we skip over them. They're so simple. So you're going to think that the message tonight is so simplistic that it's unrealistic. But the truth is this is basic. This is fundamental. If God is going to be real in your life and your love relationship is going to stay alive and well, then you've got to spend time with Him daily. Hey, try building a marriage and check in once a week. See how that goes over. Hey, honey, I'm your husband. Thought I'd call you today. It's been a week. It won't be long till she'll say, X. You're going to have a loving relationship and a real relationship with a real God in your life, then we've got to spend time with Him daily. And to do that, we've got to spend time in His Word daily. If God is not real in your life, this book has no proper place in your life. You're not reading it. You're not studying it. You're not spending time in it. You've given your time over to something else instead of this blessed book. The psalmist said, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. You know what that early will I seek Thee means? Every morning. Every morning. Not the last thing you do at the end of the day. Early will I seek Thee. See, when we get up and give God first place with His book, early, before everything else, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. If God's going to be real in your life, if you're going to have that sweet, real, alive, personal relationship, you've got to spend time in this book. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searching the scriptures daily." Talking about the Berean Christians, Paul is speaking about them. The Christian life is a walk of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the reason we must spend time in the word of God daily. That's also one of the reasons we must be faithful to attend God's house, where we can hear the word of God daily, regularly. Every time we go through a day without spending time with God's book, we're giving the devil an opportunity to take away the reality of God in our life. Every Sunday and Wednesday we willfully lay out of God's house where the Bible is preached and taught, we're giving place for the devil to steal away the reality of God in our life. And let me tell you, anything that keeps us out of the house of God on the Lord's day is wrong. It's out of place. Every time we miss a daily time in God's Word or attending His church, we're weakening our faith. And we begin a trend that could bring us to the place where we lose the reality of God. It all starts somewhere with a decision to put something in the world in the place of God. The Christian must learn to use what faith he has if he's ever going to increase his faith and get more faith. We've got to learn to claim the promises of God's Word. You say, "I don't know the promises." Guess where you learn them? Spending time daily in the book. You'd be surprised what's there. You say, "But I can't go very far." Dear God, I read sometimes a paragraph, and I read it over and over and over again because of something I see there that God uses in my life. Or something that's new to me today. I've never really noticed it before. But you're not going to get that if you never spend time in the Word of God. As we spend time daily in the Word of God cleanses us as we read it and obey it. See, the Word of God has cleansing ability. In fact, in Ephesians 5, 26-27, now I realize he's talking about a husband-wife relationship and comparing it to the church-Christ relationship, he says in reference to church, the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. You say, "But that's the church." What's the church made up of? Born-again, baptized believers, me and you. Let me tell you, the Word of God has a cleansing effect on our life. You say, "But I just keep having trouble with this." Well, try putting the Word of God in your life daily. You might find out you can get victory over this. When we spend time in the Word of God, it not only has a cleansing effect, it has a renewing effect on our mind. A renewing effect. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God pushes doubt away? When we spend time in the Word of God, it renews our carnal mind as we read it and think on it. And no Christian can become spiritually minded without the Word of God and spending time in it regularly. The Word of God, when applied and obeyed, has not only a cleansing power, it has that renewing power over the mind. And it makes it possible for us to think spiritually. You say, "I don't know how to think spiritually." Think biblically. When you think biblically, you think spiritually. Makes it possible for us to think spiritually. And without the Word of God, we think in our natural manner, which is in our carnal mind. Well, preacher, I just can't help but think about these carnal things. Know why? There's no cleansing and renewing taking place because you're not in this daily. It'll have an effect on our mind. I promise you, a person that has trouble with pornography does not have a regular daily time in this book. God's Word reminds us in Romans 8:6, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And if God's not real in your life, you don't have that life and peace. So if God's going to be real, we've got to spend time daily in His Word. Secondly, if God's going to be real in our life, we must spend time daily in prayer. Try building a relationship with your wife or a girlfriend or boyfriend without communication. The Bible says He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What do friends do? They communicate. They talk. And the basis of every love relationship is communication. The basis of every lasting marriage is communication. Wife, 50,000 words a day. The husband, 25,000 words a day. And the only reason the wife does 50,000 while the husband does 25,000, the husband's always saying, "What'd you say?" Huh? If God's going to be real in our life, we must spend time daily in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." God wants to hear from His children. God wants to help us with our problems. God wants to share in our heartaches and our burdens. He wants to know our plans. He'd like to have input in them. You say, "But I'm not going to pray because I don't want God's input in my plans. I want to do what I want." That's the problem. David said in Psalm 86:3, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily." That word daily doesn't mean just every day. He said, "I cry unto Thee all day long." Look it up. Daily. Psalm 88:9, "Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon Thee. I've stretched out my hand unto Thee." If you're going, I don't know of anybody that had a closer, more real relationship with God than David. David prayed. David talked with Him. Whose life is so safe and sure that you can skip a day or a week without prayer? You've got everything so right and so sewed up in your life. You don't have to worry. You don't have to talk to God. Oh, you're a fool. Which of you is so strong you can withstand Satan's attack without the help of God? What mother and daddy are such good parents? You don't need God's help and protection over your children. If God's going to be real in our life, we're going to have to learn how to pray and call upon Him. One of the great evidences that God is real, He hears and answers our prayer. How long has it been since He's answered one of yours? How long has it been since you've even called on Him? If God is not real, I'll be honest with you, if God was a stone, I wouldn't pray to Him because I know a stone don't have ears to hear or feelings. But God's not a stone. He's eternal God. He's the Creator. He is the omnipotent One. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is our Savior, our Lord, our Father, our God. He is our all in all. He's our great high priest with an invitation to come boldly unto Him, for He has mercy and grace to help in our time of need. And we never go. We never ask. I'm asking you tonight, is God real in your life? If He's going to be real and personal, then we've got to have a relationship with Him on our knees. Not just in the book, but on our knees. In the book, God has opportunity to speak to our hearts. In our prayer life, we have an opportunity to communicate to God our burdens, our needs, our heartaches, our fears. You say, but preacher, I don't have much faith. Dear God, I love the prayer of the man praying for his son. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But he prayed. Use what faith you have. If you do not have a daily prayer life, how can God be real to you? Either you're so self-centered and self-secure in yourself, and that's going to collapse around you, or you don't believe there's a God, or you'd call on Him. Thirdly, if God's going to be real in our life, then we've got to spend time daily communicating with the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Talking to the Holy Spirit? What's the matter? He's not a real person? I submit to you, He is the second person of the Godhead. He's the third person of the Godhead. He is real. He's not an it. He's not some spooky Casper the Friendly Ghost floating around. He is God in spirit who lives in every one of His children. He is our comforter. He is our guide. He is our teacher. He is our one to empower us and strengthen us. The Bible says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Jesus telling the disciples that when the Comforter is come, He would be with them and live in them and us. He is the earnest of our inheritance until Jesus comes to rapture us out. You ever talk to the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit lives right here. He's right here. You ever talk to Him? He's God. By the way, every miracle Jesus performed in His earthly life, He performed in the power of the One who lives in you, the Holy Spirit. You ever talk to Him? If He's real, He ought to be communicated with. Talk to Him. Holy Spirit, help me, lead me, fill me, guide me, comfort me, teach me. Communicate with Him. I remember Lester Roloff coming to our church. He was in church I pastored a number of times. He'd call up. He'd dial, the phone would ring, you'd pick it up, and he'd say, Bob. He'd never tell you who it was. You're just supposed to know. And you did. Bob, I'll be coming by. Want to have a rally at your church. It'll be all right. Hang up. He said, what'd you do? I got ready for a rally. I ain't going to tell that old man he couldn't come. We'd be in the office and he'd be praying before the service. And he'd lay flat down on his stomach, on his face, stretched out. He'd talk to God a little while in prayer. He'd talk to Jesus a little while. He'd talk to the Holy Spirit in a little while. Hey, it's God. It's God. Why don't we communicate with Him? And then he'd say, pardon me a minute. And he'd talk to the devil. He'd just skin the devil. And then he'd get back to God, and Jesus, and Holy Spirit again. The reason God's not real in your life, you don't make Him real. Why is God the Father real and God the Holy Spirit not real? Why is Jesus real and God the Holy Spirit not real? Which one's real and which one's not? They're all real. They're all God. We need to learn to communicate with the Holy Spirit of God. I wonder how He feels when we claim to be Christians and never talk to Him. Wonder why we're so powerless. You know, love dies where there's no communication. Children rebel where there's no communication. Confusion reigns where there's no communication. No wonder God's not real in our lives if we never communicate with a person of God's of the Godhead who lives in us and will be with us until we're raptured out. He said, what do I say to the Holy Spirit? Well, why not? What would thou have me to do? Our Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm facing this situation. What should I do? Or talk to Him about your weaknesses and frailties. Or maybe talk to Him and yield yourself to His control. By the way, that's what the filling of the Holy Spirit is, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to take control of all of you. Ask Him to direct your life on a daily basis. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence in all you do and everywhere you go. I'm talking about making God real in our life. And then lastly, if we're going to have the reality of God in our life, then we must learn to walk according to His Word. Now, you say, what do you mean? We've got to learn to order our life so that it lines up with the teachings of this book. What are you doing in your life right now that contradicts the teaching of the Word of God? Are you sleeping around? Are you immoral? That contradicts the Word of God. Are you not tithing? That contradicts the Word of God. Are you laying out of church? You don't attend regularly? That's contradicting the Word of God. Are you dishonest in business dealings? That's contradicting the Word of God. Do you lie and cheat? That's contradicting the Word of God. Are you not obeying your parents and honoring them? That's contradicting the Word of God. I'm simply saying if God is going to be real in our life, then we need to come to that place where we must walk according to His Word. Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 6 should be a favorite to every one of us. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's the Word of God. Living by the Word of God. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. By the way, truth is the Word of God. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If you want God to be real in your life, then learn to walk with Him according to His Word through your valleys. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. God's going to be real in your life. Learn to walk with Him while you're on the mountaintops. Isn't it amazing? Boy, in the valley we realize our need of Him, but when we're on the mountaintop, we think we can do without Him. There's more people destroyed because they can't handle the mountaintop than they are because they can't handle the valley. They'll cry out to God in the valley. We think we've got it made on the mountaintop. Walk with Him through the dark places of your life. You say, what do you mean? I mean those places when you can't understand, when there seems to be no real direction in life. What do? Walk with God according to His Word. Just keep on living by His book and walking in His way until God says this is the next direction for your life. I'm talking about making God real. Walk with Him through the storms of life. Walk with Him through the good times and keep on walking with Him through the uncertain times. These are uncertain times. Uncertain financially. What are we going to do? Will we have a job next week? Will there be anything for retirement when we get old enough to retire? All of these are uncertain things. What are we going to do? Well, I'm not going to curl up like a little baby sucking my thumb. I'm going to just keep on trusting God and going, He is my source. He is my life. He is my hope. The truth ought to be in our lives that if we cannot go there with God, then we're just not going to go there at all. We're going to walk with God. We're going to walk according to His Word. Now let me conclude. Is God real in your life? He can be. And I want you to know He desires to be. If He's not real in your life, then it's the result of your own neglect and your own choices in life. You don't blame somebody else. It's nobody else's responsibility to make sure your spiritual upkeep is kept up. You know, I have a new pickup. It just turned over 5,000 miles today. And guess what happened when it turned over 5,000 miles? Light came on and said, service required. It's time to change the oil. It's telling me. You know, it's been doing that all day, and nobody has come to me and said, you better change the oil in that pickup. You know why? Because it's my responsibility. And if you're going to have any kind of spiritual walk, if God is going to be real in your life, then it's your responsibility to make the right decisions and keep your life close to Him and in tune with Him. Each of the four things I've mentioned tonight will help us make God real in our life. I promise you, if you're not spending time in the Word of God daily, if you're not praying daily, if you're not communicating with the Spirit who lives within you daily, if you're not walking according to the Word of God, then it's not going to be long until you'll say, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't think church is relative anymore. In fact, I don't even know if there's really a God. Because you've gotten away from the simple, basic things necessary to keep God real and alive in our hearts and in our lives. When God is real and personal, He'll also become precious. When He's real and personal, He'll also become precious to you. Peter said, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that's Jesus. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I ask you one more time, is God real to you? Is He personal and precious to you? If not, you call yourself a Christian, then There's some things radically wrong and out of place in your life. If you don't come back to Him and begin to practice these daily things in your Christian life, it'll be long, won't be long before you'll ask, where's God? Where's God? Is there a God? I don't know about you, but I want that close, personal relationship with Him where I can look at Him and He is precious to me. Father, that's our message tonight. Lord, I preach to Your children tonight. People who know You as Savior and yet get so caught up and so busy living in this perilous world we live in that we neglect You and forget the spiritual upkeep necessary to help us to have the reality of God in our life. Lord, it's wonderful to feel Your presence. It's wonderful to hear Your direction. It's wonderful to hear that still small voice speaking. It's wonderful to feel the Holy Spirit saying, that's wrong, and convicting us of sin. Oh God, speak to our hearts. Oh God, speak to our hearts. Help us to yield to You until we make God real again in our lives. In Jesus' name.